dialed at home. It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My lord!
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yeah, Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The finished conspiracy.
Booga booga, i.e. poopy diapers.
He can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 58 of Three in the Box, your unintentional elbowing Minnesota hockey podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, January 18th, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about blowouts, Ryan Suter's elbow, and goalies yet again.
Yeah, luckily it wasn't Ryan Suter's elbow getting blown out.
Right. In the studio with me is Kenny, as you can hear.
Yo.
And Jive.
Hey, hey.
How's your guys' week been?
It's been picking up, been better.
Been better, yeah.
Been better.
Yeah.
It's been getting warmer out. The tides have changed a little over in St. Paul.
Melt some ice.
And refreeze some ice.
Some ice.
Well, you know, before we get into things, I would just like to remind everyone, you can follow us on Twitter, at Three in the Box. That's at number three in the box. Let's do this. Well, as we noted, things are getting better, but, you know, really the Wild started things off last week in dismal fashion with an absolute trouncing at the hands of the Penguins, with Backstrom and Curry combining for 7 goals against on just 35 shots. The game remained close, you know, through 2 periods. It was 3-1 after 2. You know, Wild were still losing, but, you know, it wasn't too bad. But then
it wasn't blowout territory.
Right, but then the wheels fell off in the third. Suter, he was a -3 on the night, probably had the worst game of all the skaters. He also elbowed Steve Downey in the head, which knocked Downey out of the game. Downey was all right, but even though...
Yeah, I think he practiced the next day.
Even though Suter didn't get a penalty on the play, it did end up costing him 2 games via suspension in the Department of Player Safety. Prior to his 2-day break, his 2-day vacation, I guess you might even say, he was -21 over the last 20 games. So things, and that's including the -3 in Pittsburgh, as well as -3 the game before in, versus Chicago. So things haven't been going well for him right now. Do you guys think a few days off will help him get his game back in order here?
I think so. I think he, you know, maybe just needed a rest. You know, who knows how healthy he actually was coming back from the mumps, and maybe never completely got, well, obviously he didn't completely get back into the swing of things with those dismal numbers. But I think even Yo kind of alluded to that too, saying, you know, maybe it will be good for him just to have a couple of days off and recoup himself.
And I mean, Suter, I mean, we still know he is. He's a top tier defenseman,
right?
And on his good days, he is definitely worth his weight in gold. Everybody has problems once in a while. Everybody, you know, is going to run into slumps. And I mean, you throw out the number there, -21 over the last 20 games. You also got to remember, the Wild themselves just have not been winning games. He can't be the entire team.
True.
And
the goaltending hasn't been very good either.
Some of
it's defensive failures,
yeah.
But a lot of it was also just bad goaltending.
Right. And if you look at that, if he's out there for half of the game, you got to figure that he's going to be out there for some of the goals against,
right.
Really. So,
well, you know, and you kind of mentioned this, but I know that everyone praises how much ice time he can eat up. But do either of you think that him not playing as much in a single game would maybe help the team's chances moving forward? I know Stoner complained about not getting enough ice time when he was in Minnesota. Are we holding back, you know, some guys that are second and third pairings from getting ice time that they probably need to develop?
You know, that's quite possible. I think maybe cutting back Suter's ice time should be something to be looked at. We obviously saw in the past 2 games with Suter being out that the D looked pretty decent. I mean, you know, even right. Without Suter playing a half a game, maybe the fact that they were rotating through and giving guys more
more fresh legs
on a regular basis. Granted, I mean, Suter just looks like he glides everywhere, but maybe cutting them back to, you know, 25 minutes a game, 20 minutes a game might not be the worst case scenario or worst idea.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, Yo needs to, you know, I mean, obviously he is our, like I said before, our top tier defenseman, but we have, yes, a lot of younger players that do need the experience. And along with that, I mean, Yo needs to show that he's got some faith in these guys too.
Right.
So,
I mean, obviously you got Spurgeon and Scandella and Brodin and Follin out there that are all very capable defensemen.
Right.
And, you know, maybe it's not just the fact of getting some fresh legs out there, but also keeping these guys in stride with the game so they're not sitting too long and basically, you know, their heads out of the game at that point.
Right. So, well, I guess I can't argue too much with that. I do know that I do wonder, though, would, you know, 4 minutes less in a game over the course of a season actually really change much of anything? Because he doesn't, like you said, he glides everywhere. He's not exactly expending a ton of energy.
No.
He skates very judiciously and is not wasting energy when he doesn't need to waste energy. But on the flip side, you got guys like Zucker that are rushing in on things, and if Suter's just back there gliding, he's not going to be, it's going to be harder for him to be in those kind of plays and helping the team score.
Yeah. But that said, I mean, you don't want your defensemen committing themselves too deep into the zone.
True.
Where you're giving up the odd man rushes and in turn, you know, giving up goals on the other end of the ice.
Lately, it doesn't seem like even that helps, though.
Yeah.
We're getting beat every which way, it seems like, you know.
Well, we were. We got some fresh blood between the pipes now, though. After trading Arizona, a third round draft pick for Devin Dubnyk. See, good thing we started at 420.
Doobies,
dubstep.
The 6'5" goalie joined the team Thursday against Buffalo after taking the red eye from Phoenix. Currently, Yo said he'd be juggling three goalies once Kemper is officially back. I know Kemper was skating. I think we'll be talking about that a little bit later. But despite the fact that we have seen two very good games from Dubnyk, how good is this for the team? Not just in a we have a winning goalie scenario.
Well, I mean, you look at what we had. We've got Backstrom. When Kemper is out, we had Curry as his backup. Curry's not capable NHL goaltender. Backstrom is, I don't know what Backstrom's problem is right now.
He's in quite a bit of a slump.
He's slow. He doesn't move.
Giving up juicy rebounds.
Juicy rebound after juicy
rebounds.
he just looks terrible. And Kemper, you know, he's had bright moments by all means, but lately he has not looked good either.
Yeah. I have to agree with you there. Backstrom, we can definitely tell that I think he's getting towards the end of his career. I mean, he's got a little bit of age on the rest of these guys here. And you're right, he probably doesn't move as quick. But at that point, a goalie needs to start using like his smarts a little bit more where to make up for what he can't do physically anymore. And that's where I'm seeing him fail, too, is finding himself out of position a lot of times.
Very frequently.
Coming out and challenging plays where he then gives up a rebound and he is way out of place and out of position to make a play on the next one, you know. So, I don't know. We obviously needed something, so I'm glad that the Wild did make some sort of a move.
Right.
It shows us that they're not throwing the towel in on the season just yet. But
We're just over the halfway mark now, yeah. So
I don't know that Dubnyk's or Dubnyk is the guy who's going to bring us to the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't know that he's that guy. He doesn't have that proven of a record.
But he was in the the place where goalies go to end their careers in Edmonton.
Right.
And this is actually funny. We looked it up last night. The Wild have had one third of the goalies that went through Edmonton last year. We had Briz last year and now Dubnyk. And I'm hoping we get some similar results from Dubnyk that we got from Briz last year. Hopefully it'll be a little more consistent. And if we can, by some stretch here, we can make the playoffs. Hopefully, you know, he's on fire. There's other real questions about the goalie situation.
Well, what positive or negative, what type of impact do you think having a third goalie now is going to have on Backstrom and Kemper?
Well, I personally think that it's good. I think competition breeds, you know, basically production. If you know that if you are underperforming, that there's somebody else right in line to take your position, because they, you know, both Kemper and Backstrom probably knew, Harding's pretty much out of the picture. And like you said earlier, Aaron Curry is not an NHL goalie.
No.
I mean, that,
didn't we record this podcast last year about this time?
But that's it. I mean, but adding a third goalie, I think, to the mix will, bring a little bit of competition back into it and you know, maybe force some of the other goalies to perform a little bit better, get their mind in the game.
But we do have the problem. We can't send Kemper down without getting him through waivers. Backstrom's got a no-movement clause. So that means we're going to be taking up a healthy scratch spot on a goalie every single game.
Yeah.
Either that or the Wild have to, you know, cut bait with Backstrom and just release him outright and take that cap hit. Because I don't know what else they could really do.
Well, and, you know, as it kind of sits right now, it seems like Backstrom and Kemper are almost feeding off of each other. Like, it was going down a wicked spiral of, oh, well, he lost, I lost, and there didn't seem like there was any, like, good coming out of either one of them, and they were just feeding off of that negativity from both of them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, throwing now some fresh legs in there, hopefully will revitalize both of them and their play comes back up to what it should be.
Well, and something needs to happen, I mean, because something needed to happen. I mean, that's an obvious thing. I'm really curious. I don't think this is going to change Backstrom at all. He's been around forever. I think he is what he is at this point. He's not going to be the Backstrom of old anytime soon, if ever, again. So he is what he is. I think, if anything, though, this will light a fire under Kemper.
Yeah,
and hopefully bring him to a spot where he can actually, because we only have Dubnyk through the end of the year.
Yeah, he's a rental. They sign him after the season.
Yeah.
His contract is up at the end of the season.
So it's like we need Kemper at the very least as a if we end up getting someone else, you know, as our starting goalie, or we re-sign Dubnyk, we need someone who's at the very least a capable NHL backup.
Yeah.
And Kemper, to this point, hasn't even proven that.
Yeah. If you go back to the beginning of the season, he was looking like he was going to be that for us. But as the season wore on, you know, I don't know if he just wore down or what it was. Because Yo did ride him for quite a while there when he was hot. And, you can't blame Yo for riding your hot goaltender.
Nope.
And you expect that professional athletes are able to, to ride it out. But, and like you mentioned, as one of the options that the Wild have with the three goalies, I think that the best option right now, over the last couple of years, we've talked about Backstrom and we've talked about Backstrom. Nothing's getting better.
No.
Nothing's getting better.
He's not aging like a fine wine, that's for sure.
Maybe we just need to cut our losses and be done with it. and move on from that era, the Backstrom era, and start something new. We'll take the hit now and move on from there.
You know, as much as it's going to kind of pain the team having to carry three goalies with them, as history dictates, it might not be a bad idea to actually carry three goalies with this organization.
Right. And honestly, I know there's a lot of gnashing of teeth about having carrying three goalies. But honestly, a lot of the skaters that end up being healthy scratched don't want to be healthy scratched anyway. Maybe they don't want to be sent to the AHL, but at the same point, we've got people not skating. What does it matter if it's a goalie or not?
So, well, okay, so with that being said, is that also going to create some more competition with the skaters, being that there's going to be one less spot for them to take another skater on?
Potentially.
Yeah. So I got another question for you guys with Dubnyk. Obviously, he plays a very different style of goaltending than what we're used to seeing here. Do you think they're going to try to change him to get more the Wild style? Or you think they're going to continue to let him kind of do his puck handling behind the net and make, you know, tape-to-tape passes?
He did get an assist, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. He was one of, I think the last Wild goaltender to get an assist was Backstrom back in like 2011.
Yeah, it's been a while. I don't know that you can necessarily go and change the way that a goalie plays. I mean, there are probably some small things that you can do, but at this point in their career,
they are who they are.
They are who they are. They've got their habits.
Do you want to change something that isn't broken?
Right.
Usually, you want to fix something because it's not working.
Right.
Unless you're like the Twins and everyone's got to play small ball, you know, even if it's like David Ortiz. Right. But I don't think the Wild are like that. You know, I think there may be a degree where they're trying to improve people's weaknesses. But judging from the couple games that he's played now, he seems very solid. Nice, crisp passes when he's passing to other players. And he even said in like one of the post game, interviews, it's like he doesn't do the ringing around the puck around the glass thing.
No, he's passing to a player intentionally.
Yep.
And that's actually, you know, in my opinion, an added bonus skill. I mean, if he can make a nice solid pass, I mean, you're freeing up having a defenseman back there, you know, trying to break it out, you know, setting him up behind the net waiting for something to happen. You're giving the other team an opportunity to switch out their players,
yeah,
get some fresh legs on the ice. If your goalie's, you know, making the pass, getting it up ice, I mean, potentially that puts us in a better position as far as, you know, keeping the other team on the ice.
Pressuring them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeping the pressure on. And yeah, I think in turn it could help us out.
Yeah.
So. Well, I don't think you try to change anything at this point, I guess.
That seems like a style of Arizona, of Phoenix, because Mike Smith is very much the same style of goaltender.
Yeah.
Maybe it has to do with the size, too, because Mike Smith is also not a small goalie.
Yeah.
And either, you know, and Dubnyk, you know, 6'5" for a goalie.
He's a pretty small guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's nice to actually see that, though. I don't think he wants to just leave the puck behind the net for the D. And as you had said, Jive, if we can get the puck up there that much quicker, it'll put that much more pressure on opposing team.
And I think there's an added thing here is that, you know, especially a team like the Wild that may not allow a ton of shots on goal, it keeps them a little more active in the game rather than just standing there letting the puck sit. He's playing more of an active role. His head's a little more involved. And so maybe I think that's probably a good thing, considering how few shots we do allow on goal.
Yeah. And that said, I mean, talking about a few shots allowed on goal, the Wild, you know, kind of went back to some of the things we had seen in the beginning of the year as far as, you know, the amount of shots that we were getting on goal and the amounts of shots that that we were allowing on goal. And the Wild did. They ended their losing streak kind of in a commanding fashion, I would say. Yeah. They were victorious over the Sabres 7-0 on Thursday.
That's a bit victorious after getting blown out 7-2.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good turnaround. And I mean, in similar to last season when they played the Sabres mid-season in their matchup, it kind of seems hopefully that it sparked maybe a little bit of a winning streak here. Because the Wild went on to beat Arizona to cap off Hockey Day Minnesota last night, right? With Dubnyk going up against the team that had just traded him away just earlier in the week,
like right? 3 days prior.
So that's probably a record time in coming back to play your former team, unless there's been one where you.
I feel like we had one like that with Konopka.
Konopka? Or Pom?
Maybe it was Pommelville.
Yeah, we go right back to the Sabres?
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
Yeah, that might have been even closer.
Yeah. But that's pretty damn close. I mean, it was close enough where, although he did get his new pads and new masks.
For Saturday's game.
Yesterday's game. Yep. So it was a pretty good turnaround, but he was wearing, you know, the... luckily, he didn't have to wear the Coyotes mask against the Coyotes.
Although it might have confused him. Maybe they wouldn't have shot on net then, right?
Uh-oh.
So the Wild did have convincing wins over a couple of, I mean, we can call them struggling teams, really.
Rebuilding teams,
right,
maybe?
Yeah. So these were games that they probably should have won, but they did win. I mean, they were must-win games for us anyways. But you think this means that maybe we're getting back on track here a little bit?
Well, I think had they lost one or both of those games, it would have just been utterly dreadful, and I don't think they would have had a shot. I think getting these convincing wins is going to be enough to kind of kick them back into the swing of things. I know there's a couple of tough games coming up and then the All-Star break, but you know, hopefully this is enough to
right the ship maybe a little bit.
Yeah, get some of their confidence back.
Steer us in the right direction.
You know, and they won both of those games, like we had said earlier, without their star defenseman.
Yeah.
Well, and they're going to have a real tough time. I mean, they've got the Blue Jackets and the Red Wings coming up. Both are really tough teams.
It's an uphill road,
I'm hoping that they've turned things around, but I guess you know it's one of those things where we'll just see. I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, my opinion on the whole thing is, they were a couple of nice wins. I think that we need to rattle a couple more off. I don't know that we'll go on, you know, a long extended winning streak. But I'm going to hope that, you know, we can, you know, notch off a couple wins against, you know, a couple more, you know, teams that are more in the upper half of the standings.
Right.
That once we see something like that, I think then we can say that, you know, maybe we're back on track.
I mean, luckily we do have the game against the Blue Jackets, and that's at home.
Yeah.
So we at least have one home game here. But then
it's the next day.
Next, we have got a next two games, yep. And it's against the Red Wings in Detroit.
That's always tough.
That's going to be the tough one where it's like, I don't know.
So who do you think is going to be in net? I don't think Yo would end up riding Dubnyk both games back to back.
At this point, I think that he would. I mean,
I think he might actually.
If
that speculation is that he might actually play start both games, so
if he's performing and that's what's winning us games at this point right now, I think that Yo would stick with that because all of his options other than that have not been panning out very well.
I'm pretty sure at least against Columbus he's going to get the start because I think at the practice today he basically had an entire side to himself, and Kemper and Backstrom were splitting time on the other end.
Well, and let's look at it this way. I mean, say he plays spectacularly against Columbus. How do you not start him in Detroit, especially when you've got 6 days off in a row coming right after
plenty
that?
Plenty of time to rest.
Right. So. And if he plays really bad, why don't you start him again just so he can clear his head and get right before the break? Yeah. So it's like either way you cut it, I see... unless there's something else extraneous happens, I see no other way for Yo not to start in both games.
Yeah. So, well, and with that said, I mean, we've mentioned it here a couple times that the All-Star break is coming up. Do you think, I mean, in the past, the Wild, I don't think, have done very well, I guess, coming out of breaks over the winter. I mean, we were kind of slumping before the right. Christmas break there, but we certainly didn't come out of it very well either.
No.
So do you think with the All-Star break, do you think it'll have some sort of an effect on our play? Are we going to continue on a roll there, or are we going to, you know, slump off again?
I think it'll be a welcome break just to kind of let some of the players heal up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not like it was like the Olympic break last year where it was, what, like 3 weeks or two weeks or something like that.
That was pretty long.
I think, you know, it's just long enough, I think, for them to kind of
catch their breath,
get back together. I mean, obviously, it's kind of going to depend on how these games against Columbus and Detroit go. But I think it'll be good, especially when we got some players looking like, you know, they could be on the edge of coming back right now.
So I got a question. So if Suter, say, had been like the All-Star break would have been like in the middle of his suspension, would he then not be able to play in the All-Star game?
I think he still can because I don't think it's a paid game.
I think it's paid, but I think it's an exhibition game. So, and he wouldn't be practicing with his team.
Right.
And that's what's...
That's part of the suspension.
Right.
Because he doesn't make his normal salary for that, for the
no, but
All-Star game. There's probably some sort of...
I think they get bonuses.
Some sort of a bonus.
And I'm sure that certain there's something written into the CBA where they get paid X amount.
You know, I'm pretty sure... Because I think Ovechkin went into one of the All-Star breaks on a suspension.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure... Oh, no, he didn't play. But there was something else. It wasn't Ovechkin. It was other player. It was a couple of years ago. But, yeah, essentially they ended up not playing, I think, because of the pressure of what the suspension was for. So yeah. Who knows with the Suter thing. And that was also, you know, the previous CBA also.
Right. I think he would have been able to because it would be weird not to have an All-Star play. But, you know, weirder things have happened.
Yeah,
know?
What if they, like, what if it was somebody who did something, you know, pretty malicious and you know, you didn't want that guy back on the ice.
Right.
You know?
Well, and then that's, you suspend him from all hockey activity.
Right.
And including All-Star games, I guess.
So how about if Suter was beating his kids?
Whoa.
Then would he be allowed to play?
Yes, because he doesn't play for the NFL.
Okay.
But he's out of the Pro Bowl.
Out of the Pro Bowl. So, well, all right. That said, I mean, you know, we talked about the All-Star break coming up there. Maybe hopefully getting some people healthy. As far as injury-wise, we've still got Ballard, Granlin, Kemper. He was skating in practice, but he's still on IR, I believe.
Yeah.
But we did get one welcome face back last night. Scandella was able to practice yesterday, and he did play in last night's game. You know, Ardia's kind of been a little bit thin, to say the least, and it was nice to have him back, I would say, with Suter, you know, still serving his suspension. And then Falk also this week went on to the IR with an upper body injury. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Is this good news having Scandella back?
No. Absolutely.
No, it's terrible news.
Terrible news.
You're right.
Right.
Because we wanted to finish last so we get the top draft pick, right?
Right.
No, of course it's great news. Yeah. You know, he's one of our few D-men who will step up and play an offensive role as well.
Yes.
I mean, you see it from Spurgeon. Yeah. You see Prosser do it a bit. But a lot of the, you know... Brodin and Folan and Suter, they're a little more stay at home kind of guys.
More pure defensemen.
Yeah. So it's having one of our scoring D men come back is a wonderful thing.
I've really been liking how Scandella is playing defensively too.
I agree. I mean, on both ends of the rink he has been a valuable player.
He's blocking shots. Yeah. He's you know,
and he's gone out. I think this is his second time out now this year, if I'm remembering correctly. But I think that when he is in, we're feeling his presence. He's making a difference in the game. So I'm going to say that it's great news having him back, and I'm happy for that.
Right. Well, and he does bring another thing to the team, and that's his hipster haircut.
Hipster.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys saw the Russo thing where Kemper came back with a hipster haircut.
I did read this.
And they joked around, and he go, "Oh, you get the Scandella haircut." And then he ended up going to the same barber as Scandella. So
where can I go get my hair cut like that?
Well, you gotta kind of have to grow hair. I
gotta grow hair first, right?
To facilitate that.
Yeah.
Those hipster haircuts.
So,
you know, like you were saying with the all these injuries happening on the D line, the Wild needed to bring someone back. Suter suspension and Falk and Scandella all being down. So they called Dumba up. So far, in his two games back, he's played very well, including a goal and a fight in Buffalo.
Yeah. He's an assist short.
He's an assist short of the Gordie Howe hat trick.
Right.
His fight wasn't that great, but, you know, it was interesting to see. I didn't think he'd be much of a fighter, but apparently he took offense and dropped gloves. So.
He took a few shots, but I think after that he held his own.
The initial part of the fight did not look good. It was like, oh my God, he's going to get creamed here.
Well, he probably was a little confused. He's not necessarily a known fighter, so you know he's probably like, what's this?
And I'm pretty sure he's not a heavyweight or anything like that. So, you know, so and that was in Buffalo, and in the Arizona game, he did a really great job, you know, keeping pucks in the zone. He was kind of all over the place, you know, in a good way.
Yeah.
And then this week he was also selected to the AHL All-Star team.
Good week for him.
It was a very good week. So do you think once we get healthy, probably coming back from the All-Star break, will the Wild keep him around? And if so, you know, who will they send down? You know, Follin, Blum, Falk. We've already got basically our top five. Someone's got to go if he's going to stick around.
I would say Blum or Falk are at this point, neither. Blum, you never hear a lot one way or the other for him. I mean, he's not making spectacular plays. He's not always making the boneheaded plays, but
there's nothing special about him.
Nothing spectacular about his play.
Right.
I mean, he's serviceable, basically, is all I'll say. And Falk.
Falk is terrible.
Yeah. There's been lots of times that I've, you know, just wanted to play the loser horn.
And he contributed in that loss versus Pittsburgh in a very negative way.
Yes.
Falk is not very good. The problem is basically our top four are cemented. You got Suter, Spurgeon, Brodin, and Scandella. There's our top four. Those are pretty much set.
That's pretty solid.
It seems like Prosser has basically earned his fifth spot because I don't see him moving.
Yeah.
So basically it would be between Follin and Dumba.
Yeah.
Who's your healthy scratch here?
Follin hasn't been, you know, doing too bad himself either. And
no, he hasn't.
You know,
it's going to be a tough choice for you.
Yes.
I mean, do you reward your AHL All-Star and give him some NHL time?
Right.
And or do you Follin, who's been skating well, you know?
But that said, I mean, are you doing him a favor up here playing third line defense? Is he getting to showcase his skills? Is he getting the amount of playing time to keep improving his skills? Or would he, you know, be up here playing 10 minutes a game and more or less rotting on the bench?
I would say, you know, as much as, you know, it would suck for him, keep him down in Iowa right now, and basically have him on reserve if we do start, if we, you know, injury or suspension happens. But let him keep up his A game down there and keep him in good conditioning rather than bringing him up here for, you know, a week and he ends up sitting in the press box the entire time.
Well, I don't think, you know, I know I said it, but I don't think he's going to be a healthy scratch. He's either going to be playing here or he's going to be playing in Iowa. He's not going to be sitting in the press box.
You don't want that guy sitting in the bleachers.
and as we said, we only have two healthy scratch spots left anyway. You don't want to use that up on your guy that should be developing. I think, though, he's going to be kind of screwed, and I think he's going to be sent down to Iowa. I think he's, if we had one less defenseman or if someone is really hurt for an extended period of time, he's going to get called up and he's going to get another chance.
Extensive playing time.
Yeah. But at this point, I think he's going to draw the short straw. He hasn't had as much time with the Minnesota Wild, and Follin has, and I think Follin wins it just by default.
And I think also with Follin, you got a little bit more physical size and presence as well.
Well, Dumba's not a small guy. I mean, he's still, what, 6'1", so he's not a tiny guy by any stretch of the imagination. He's not Spurgeon tiny, right? You know? So
there's not many people.
Spurgeon tiny. Not for defensemen, no. At least, you know. You see it with the, well, actually, you don't even see that much in forwards anymore.
A lot of the forwards are all going to be, you know, fairly bigger.
I think, yeah, it's like Holla might be like the smallest one on our team.
And I think he's what, like 5'11"?
I think he's still bigger than Spurgeon.
Well, I don't know. Is there any hockey players smaller than Spurgeon besides maybe a goalie?
You don't want goalies small anymore. That's not, they don't do that anymore.
It's not the going style. You want somebody who takes up the whole net.
Yeah. A giant, big body. Yeah. Which makes me wonder why they, you know, someone doesn't sign a sumo wrestler, someone,
right,
just a fat tub of lard.
That fills the whole net. You stand there and what is
just
there to
take
shoot
a beating.
At?
Right. Just take a beating.
I'd
pay to see that.
There's no rule against it, is there? I mean,
no. It's kind of like what's his head in baseball back in the 30s hiring the little person
as the
right with the real small strike zone,
Small strike zone. Yeah, yeah. So, he played had one plate appearance, took a walk, and was pinched run for. Why can't he have it? We need a sumo wrestler. We need to find someone, or you know, like a Pacific Islander, you know, a big old
like
guy,
a big Samoan,
a big old Samoan. Yeah. Teach him how to skate.
He's a goalie. He doesn't have to.
You just push him out there.
Well, teach him how to stand on skates. Okay? Right.
You know, the only problem with that is there's still going to be a hole somewhere.
Oh yeah. Well, the pads can only be so big.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing, is the pads can only be so big. So he is going to take a beating.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a fun time for him.
So. Well, but if you got a lot of meat on you, you know, maybe it doesn't hurt as bad. Right?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I wouldn't want to be in that locker room and see him with the shirt off, though. That's for damn sure. Just giant black and blue fat dude.
Flaps.
And when's the last time you saw the goalies, you know, the bulk goalies, you know, in the bench clearing brawls and the goalies are going at it? Who would win there?
Oh,
right?
Wow.
You just belly flop them.
Right? Sumo match at center ice.
Right in the center ring up in the middle there. I can see it now.
You have boxing matches around the perimeter and then a sumo wrestling match at center ice.
Oh, man.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Entertainment at its greatest, sir.
What was the old saying? I went to a boxing match and a hockey game broke out?
Right.
Yep. So.
You know, I already brought it up, but upcoming week we got the All-Star break. Yeah. And then Blue Jackets at Wild and Wild at Red Wings. That's Monday, Tuesday, and then
just a couple quick games, and then the All-Star break. Our one All-Star, Suter.
One All-Star.
Yeah, one All-Star.
One All-Star. Out of this whole team, right?
Well, you know, you look at the guys who you would think would normally be the candidates to go, you know, our captain, our assistant, and then our alternate captains.
Yeah. I don't see why Parisi didn't get any sort of a nod.
He hasn't been scoring much.
He hasn't scored a lot, but he's still, I think he's still,
and he's a forward,
been pretty valuable to the team.
No, this is true.
Yeah. There are a lot better forwards out there than Parisi.
There is. And that, I think that's really what it comes down to. I mean, he doesn't even lead his own team in scoring.
Yeah.
I think he's second or third. I know Zucker is in front of him, so.
I thought they both just tied it up at 16 last night, okay. I believe.
But, you know, I honestly wouldn't trade Parisi for half of the other ones. I mean, he may not score all the goals, but, I mean, I think he's worthwhile to have around in the locker room.
I don't think anyone's arguing against that.
Yeah, pretty sure he's the actual official captain of the Minnesota Wild.
Right.
So. Well, yeah, basically. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Parisi and Zucker are tied at 16 apiece. And obviously Parisi leads in... best Zucker in points, but Palmerville actually leads the team in points with 36.
He's been racking up the assists, though.
Yeah, he needs to score some goals, but...
Well, he's got to hit the net first.
Right. Everything's clinking out the sides, flying way out of range. Yeah. I mean, how many times has he been handcuffed this year? You know?
I don't know. How many drinks have you taken?
Too many.
All right. So... Well, should we get on to the game of the week?
Why not?
All right.
So last week's game of the week was Wild at Penguins. We all made the obvious choice of, partially because of our depressed state, we all chose the Wild losing against the Penguins, and we all made the right choice.
Look at that.
Except for the Penguins got more goals than we...
Than any of us,
guessed total goals. So. Right. We all get a point, but that means I'm still in last place. So out of these two games that are in this upcoming week, I get to choose the game of the week. And I am choosing the Wild at the Red Wings. So how about that?
That should be a good game, I think.
I think it'll be a good game.
I think both of the games this week are going to be good games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Kenny, who's your pick for this week?
I'm going with the Wild. I think I'm going to go with this new invigorating goaltending situation that they're going to ride this one throughout the week. And I'm going to take the Wild with a total of 6 goals.
And I'm going to have to agree with Kenny. The goaltending is going to, you know, continue to spark a little bit of new life into the team. You know, sometimes it takes, you know, a little bit of a change or something to put a little spark in the team. And I think the Wild will pull this one off against the Wings, even though we're going into their home.
That'll be the tough part.
It is always a tough game there. But I think that the Wild are probably pretty fed up with losing at this point. And if we can pull off a win at home here against Columbus... and ride the wave into Detroit, I think we've got a good chance to win in there. So I'm going to go with the Wild winning in a total of 5 goals.
And I'm going to be the dissenter. I'm going with the Red Wings. You know, the Red Wings are 14-4-6 at home. Pretty dang good. They're 5-0-1 against the Central. Again, very good. It's the Wild's second game of 2 games stretched in 2 days. That's it goes against the Wild. The Red Wings are 5-2 in the month of January. The Wild are definitely not that good in January, even with Dubnyk. So I don't know how anyone could pick against...
With Dubnyk, they're undefeated.
They are.
Come on.
But I
we're not even talking overtime wins here, man.
we're talking regulation. And the shutout.
Yeah.
First back-to-back win since November for the Wild.
And so. I do believe, wasn't he also the very first goaltender in Wild... franchise history to get a shutout his first game?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
First game with the Wild.
Right.
Yep. So, even with all the good praises we can lump onto Dubnyk, I think the Wild are going to be outgunned. They're going to lose, and total goals, I'm guessing 7.
Against the Red Army, huh?
Well,
yeah. Is it even the Red Army anymore? I don't know.
I don't think so, actually.
Yeah. No, I don't think they have as many Russians as they used to have.
Probably not.
So, well, I think we've got a show here.
Good luck to you, Aaron.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping the Wild win, but right. You know, so I'm also being realistic here.
It's a win either way for you,
exactly. And then, well, not in every way, because if the Wild win,
well,
then that just digs my hole deeper in this contest here. But but it's a Wild win, so I'll still be happy there. So yeah. I think we'll wrap things up here. You know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games 4-3 in the box, and that's at @3 in the box on Twitter, you can find me. My personal Twitter account is at Aaron3ITB. And lastly, a blatant pug for my band, Pinrot, which you can find at pinrot.com. Kenny.
And when I'm not here with these two clowns, you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999. Audio stuff and random stupid things are bound to be found on there.
And I'm Jive. You can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
Thank you, and have a good night. See you next week.
Bye-bye.